You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Lots of Veteran Day recognition events starting off at 9 o'clock this morning at the Hayward Intermediate School. Join the Color Guard, the country's veterans here from the American Legion. They will be there at 9 o'clock again today at the Hayward Intermediate School. Check that out. Marketplace Foods is offering a free chicken dinner for all active duty National Guard, Reserves, former military and retired military members, and a guest. They can get a meal at half price, but for the veterans, it is a free chicken dinner with a couple of sides, a dinner roll, and a beverage offered all day long from 11 until 7, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. at Marketplace Foods. You go check that out. And then the 49th annual Lacouturay Veterans Powwow gets started at 11 o'clock with the doors opening then. Grand entries at 1 o'clock. There is a Veterans Honor Ceremony at 4 o'clock, a feast at 5, and then 7 o'clock, the last grand entry that'll go into the evening. Again, the LCO Lacouturay Veterans Powwow, this will be at the high school, LCO High School. Starting at 1 o'clock and 7 are the grand entries, and a special honoring for veterans at 4 o'clock with a feast following that. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be opening up at 10 o'clock at Spider Lake Church Youth Center. This is located at 11255 Highway 77 here in Hayward, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. Again, the Northwoods Community Food Shelf starting at 10 until 3, opening up at the Spider Lake Youth Center campus. The Drummond Area School District will be providing an early childhood developmental screening event on Wednesday the 12th, starting at 2 until 7. Families living in the Drummond District are invited to attend. The screening gathers information about your child's development in areas of communication, motor skills, cognitive, and personal social growth through parent reports and observation. If a possible developmental delay is identified, a referral for further evaluation will be made. To schedule an appointment or arrange a different screening time, contact Jillian, the early childhood special education teacher. Her number is 715-739-0112. Again, 715-739-0112. Again, this is for the early childhood developmental screening event being held at the Drummond Area School District at the Early Childhood Developmental Screening. This is for ages 36 months to 45 months. Again, Wednesday the 12th from 2 until 7. Power Pump is available starting at 4 o'clock at the Hayward Community Center, located at 13660 County Highway M in Cable. This is a dumbbell-related class, and it's designed for all fitness levels. Targets all major muscle groups by using exercises such as squats, presses, lifts, and curls. Emphasized low-weight loads and high repetitions. Again, Power Pump from 4 until 5 on Wednesday the 12th at the Cable Community Center. A Wednesday night supper will be hosted by the First Lutheran Church, located at 10680 Main Street here in Hayward. From 5 until 6, drive up to the front door. Somebody will greet you and give you the number of meals that you are needed. This is based on a free will offering. For more information, call 715-634-2141. That's 715-634-2141. This is for the Wednesday night supper offered by the First Lutheran Church in Hayward from 5 until 6. On Thursday the 13th, engage knitting at the library. This is a fun group to meet with, whether you're a beginner or experienced knitter. Or maybe you prefer a different kind of craft, but you'd like the camaraderie. Join them from 10 until noon at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library, located at 10788 Highway 2777 here in Hayward. Engage knitting group at the library on Thursday the 13th at 10 o'clock. The Thursday Book Club will be meeting at 2 o'clock at Redberry Books in Cable. They are located at 43455 Cavanaugh Road in Cable. Redberry Books has several groups that meet on a regular basis discussing great books. All groups are welcome to join as new members. Book Club members receive 15% off their purchase of the Book Club book. They have several different groups and books that are being read at the different groups, so check it out. Thursday Book Club starting at 2 o'clock, Redberry Books in Cable. The LCO Constitutional Reform Group is meeting on Thursday at 5 o'clock at Kinnaman Mini Museum. This is a group of the LCO community proposing a three-branch governing system. They will be meeting Thursday, November 13th, 5 o'clock at the Kinnaman Museum. This is an event for LCO tribal members only. Again, the LCO Constitution Reform Group meeting this Thursday, 5 until 7. A writers group will be meeting at the Hayward Community Library. Whether you are a published writer, strive to be, or simply love to write, our writers group is for young people and adults who are seeking new membership. Writers of all backgrounds and levels are welcome to join. 6 o'clock, a writers group will be meeting at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library. Again, this Thursday at 6. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good Tuesday morning, Hayward. We are here, Joel Gray, and a football Tuesday as we do a little Greeple, a little Green Bay Packer, a little purple. Might have to add a little Bears, a little maybe a little Greeple. Growl.
That's
the Lions. No. Little Greeple.
No, you barely got me here today. I almost left when you said that.
Not a good night last night for Packer fans. No, I guess here's my take on it. I listened to the game. I didn't watch it. I'm watching the replay on the NFL Network here this morning. But number one is the Eagles are the real deal. I mean, it's not like this happened against a bad team. They're the real deal. They might have solidified themselves as the best team in the NFC last night. I think that's a pretty good argument. So that's number one. This wasn't a bad team that your offense was absolutely just not good against. I guess that's take number one, I guess, on a positive side, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, like, there was a lot of good. There was a lot of good. You know, at halftime, a scoreless first half, that's a lot better than what I was worried about. I thought a tone would be set by then. We'd have given them momentum that we couldn't reclaim.
A very rare thing, by the way, scoreless half. It doesn't happen very often at all.
First time in the last three seasons or so, something like that, or the last two seasons. But it was, the defense proved that they can hang with anybody. You know, if you can, I was super, super happy with the defense for much of last night, aside from a couple key penalties. Evan Williams' penalty was pretty rough. But I'm beginning to worry now about the offense. The offense has shown a couple times that if the defense can get the job done, the offense might get the job done. And that's not good enough. One of the things is LaFleur's tendencies, I think, and the general attitude around the serious moments on offense. Like, there was one point when the Packers were driving back. It was a third down scenario. They had two timeouts left. They're driving down trying to keep in the game. And there's a moment where an Eagles defensive lineman shouts, "Inside zone this way, inside zone this way." He's calling what play the offense is about to run. He's saying, "Hey, they're about to run it right at me." And guess what happens? They ran it right at him. Now, if you're the quarterback and you've got two timeouts and you hear the guy who's 3 feet away from you, it wasn't too far for Jordan to hear, and right. The Packers were on offense, so the crowd was quiet. When you hear the defense who's been running the game say, "Hey, here's what you're about to do," and he's right, yeah. You do something about that. You time out, you audible, and they were playing soft coverage at the time too, which they were doing all night to great success. But when you've got soft coverage on the outside receivers and the defensive tackle calls you out, you eat 6 yards on the side. You throw to the flat nice and quick. You audible to that because it's there.
So is that on the quarterback?
It usually would be, but there's been more and more signs lately that LaFleur is not trusting Love to make adjustments at the line, but we don't know. We literally don't know. Has LaFleur taken the keys away from Jordan, or has Jordan stopped starting the car when he sees it's time to hit the gas?
Let me ask you this, because the one time they drove was a hurry up. They were in a hurry up offense, yep, when they got their touchdown. So in that hurry up is you would think that a quarterback would have a little more flexibility in a hurry up type offense, right?
Generally, yes, but you're still just giving him one of two choices, basically. Okay. It's kind of the same. It's kind of an accelerated version of calling the play at the line, like, are we going with A or B, can, and you know, throw it away and go to B? It's kind of just an accelerated version of that. He's not picking, I don't think, which two plays you're switching between. He's just saying, "Hey, let's go quick, and here's A, let's go before they do." It's more about speed than about giving him more control in those moments. And that's, I mean, we saw indications last night that Love should have had control. I don't know if he does. We don't know what the official game policy is right now between LaFleur and Love, but indications seem to be that Love doesn't have much control, and maybe it would have been good if he did.
I sensed from listening to the game on the Packer Radio Network from Larrabee and McCarron, I could feel in their lack of enthusiasm for certain pass plays that there were some inaccuracies by Love. Is that a good analysis?
A little bit, but more than anything, it was because the scheme wasn't necessarily allowing for much better. There were probably two or three plays where there was an open man that he didn't throw to, but frankly, a lot of the time the coverage was pretty solid. The main issue, I think, of course, was going to be the offensive line, which even for missing people and losing one mid-game held up better than I thought it would. But that's where it has to start. Love has to feel comfortable. And frankly, he should feel more comfortable than he does, but unless the O-line holds up, he never will. So we just lost Elgton Jenkins. I'm expecting for the rest of the season. There's apparently a fracture in his leg there after he got rolled up on. But that might actually be for the better. I never like when somebody gets hurt, but he's been underperforming there, especially for his price tag. So we needed to shake up anyway.
Drop passes. I heard in the post game there was a stat thrown out of 4 official drop passes.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And actually, if it were more, if it were anywhere from 3 to 5, I wouldn't be surprised. That looked like last year's Packers, which was a losing formula. They dropped so many games away last year. I'm not going to say they dropped this game away, but they might have. They might have. There was a critical conversion. Dontavian Wicks dropped one. And also there were other similar mental errors, like Josh Jacobs. He leaked out after a chip block and he turned his head around the wrong way. He leaked out to the left. There's nobody out there in the flat to the left. So what does he do? He turns his head around to his right and leaks kind of towards the middle of the field where he's shaded by 3 guys. Like, Josh Jacobs, one of the smarter, better running backs in the league, doing some boneheaded day one rookie stuff. And we might have been able to eat up 10, 12, 13 yards off of that play, got nothing instead, incompletion. So yet again, what beat us? The Packers beat us more than anything. The Eagles, they sure tried hard, but the Packers allowed it to happen. And that's been the theme. 3 losses, we beat ourselves all 3 times.
Yeah, coming up later this hour, we'll talk, kind of look at a little bit ahead on the schedule. And we knew the season was probably going to come down to these key divisional games, which are on the way here in the last 8 weeks of the season or so. There's some big ones that are coming up. So we'll talk a little bit about that as the Packers lose to the Eagles last night by a score of 10-7 was the final. 10-7 was the final. The Packers were driving at the end of the game, and I thought to myself, because I was listening on the radio, I thought, what's the score? I think it's 3 points. I'm checking on my phone. It's just like there's such a lack of scoring. I can't remember what the score was because they haven't even mentioned the score recently. So we'll talk a little bit about the schedule. Disappointing night last night. Back-to-back losses at Lambeau Field for the Packer Nation. So more to come on a Greeple Tuesday. We'll maybe we'll touch a little bit on my purple later on because, remember, U.S. Bank is closer to you and Hayward than Lambeau.
And that matters.
729. It is a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Hayward. Waking up to a little bit of light snow here. And Tuesday is a day where Greg Gunderson and myself, Joel Karnick, we talk football. We talk Green Bay. We talk purple. Talk the NFC Norris Division. We all know what happened last night. Very good defense. No offense. Eagles fans got to be a little bit upset that their offense kind of really stunk last night if you're on Eagle Nation. But a good Packer defense helped with that. Let's take a look at the schedule now. So a road game at the Giants ahead of some key divisional games when you've got five of your last seven games are divisional games. So you got the Giants at 12 noon. Going into those divisional games, Gray, I think it's very easy to say this is one you got to go to New York. They just fired their coach. You got to win this one.
Yeah, this has to be the I think of pole vaulting. You know, this is the tallest task we've got is this back half of the season. Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago, Denver, Chicago, Baltimore, Minnesota. That's nasty. That is a disgusting stretch of teams to face right now. Like that is gross. And I mean, Denver, the worst team on that list, fantastic defense, still winning games. The Bears are for real. The Bears are the best thing about that list, and they're there twice. Like, there is nothing pretty about what's coming over the next 7 weeks. However, New York is the chance for us to jam the pole into the ground and leap into the air as high as possible, build some momentum, and frankly, we need something like momentum because skill and talent and execution, they ain't covering it these last couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah, and the Giants, I mean, with their coach being fired, their season's pretty much over. So, yeah, this is just a no-brainer. A win this week, it would be devastating to lose that one. Then you got Minnesota coming in and a Viking team that I think Viking fans are equally just question mark above the head about the Viking team because the Vikings played last week against Baltimore, committed 13 penalties, 8 pre-snap penalties, lost a turnover battle 3-0 in that game, and still had the ball at the end and a chance to send it to overtime. So the Vikings' upside is huge if they can find a way to just stop kicking their own butts, basically.
Yeah, unsustainable though. You're playing with fire. You know, the Packers are kind of seeing what winning close games and nothing but close games turns into when teams start to figure you out. It starts to turn into losing close games and scoring no points. So with an ailing offense, at least. With an offense that hasn't found its groove yet, you can't have that. That's, yeah, clean game or a loss. That's the Vikings' order right now.
Yeah, and the Viking defense is healthy and playing good. So that's the good news for the purple. Ugh. For the purple anyway.
That's almost as bad. I'm looking at the Bears stretch. That's almost as bad as the Packers. Minnesota, yeah. Pittsburgh's in rough shape right now, but that's still Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin.
And
then
Philly.
Us, if we're in good mood, then the Bears are in trouble. But the Browns have a real defense. Unless you're the Jets, and then Green Bay, San Francisco, Detroit. Yeah, it's a rough month to be NFC North right now.
Yeah, so that's the Bears schedule. Bears equally as rough as the Packers for the schedule the rest of the way. Let's take a peek at the Vikings schedule. The Vikings will host Chicago on Sunday, and the Vikings might be a point favorite in that, maybe. Man, I don't know. And then Green Bay at Seattle against Sam Darnold, and maybe one of the best teams in football right now, and their offense is pretty good. You got Washington coming in, the Vikings do. That's a winnable game at Dallas. You know, Dallas might be out of the playoffs by then. At the New York Giants, host Detroit, host Green Bay. So of the three, we'll look at Detroit. So of the three, Packers And Vikings and Bears, the Vikings definitely have the easier of the schedule. Not saying they're going to win them, but definitely easier.
So far, though, this one, again, like you said, Dallas could be kind of out of it. They may be playing spoiler by then. And Washington isn't a real team this season with their injuries and with their issues stacking up. And that's what happens when you have the oldest team in the league by a year. But yeah, Detroit, how are they looking? This is going to be an absolute knife fight here in this division to finish the season.
Let's take a look at the Detroit Motor City Kitties and how rough their schedule is the rest of the season, as they're now leading the division. They got the Jets, or they got the Eagles. They're at Philadelphia this week, as my computer jumps around here. Host the Giants, host Green Bay, host Dallas, at the Chargers, I believe that is, and then Pittsburgh at home, at Minnesota, at Chicago, or at the Rams. So I think this is – so schedule strength-wise, as far as toughest schedule, I'm going to go Packers, Bears about equal. I'm going to go Lions, Vikings as far as tough schedule the rest of the way.
And the Lions really aren't far back behind those first two. Boy, you know who I really feel bad for right now is the Giants. The Giants are basically just going to sit there and they're going to go and get wrecked, and then they're going to stay home and get wrecked. It's just, hopefully that keeps happening. But you got to watch out for those divisional games, though, just like we saw with the Dolphins and the Bills. Like, you got to, those ones that should never happen on paper, they happen all the time. So if you're feeling confident for no reason, well, yikes.
I mean, as bad as you feel about the loss for the Packers last night, the Lions got to go to Philadelphia now on Sunday. So you figure after this, if it go, I mean, it would be a big upset, I think, for the Packers to lose. For the Lions to win at Philly would be an upset, but Philly definitely would be favored. So let's say it goes to form. Now you've got the Lions slipping back to 6-4. And the Packers upping their record to 6-3-1, you're back in first place.
Or close to it anyway. You knew the wild card becomes undeniable. Hey, this is a fantastic set of reasons why expectations are silly.
I like the tie. I like the Packer tie because it eliminates some stuff. The Packers will not tie for the division if nobody else gets a tie. They will either, it will be their half game ahead or a half game behind. So for the Packers, it's cut and dry. You know, it's not like, well, let's see if that team wins that conference game to put their record. That doesn't matter.
Well, you see, though, there is, Joel, at the end of the season, a couple of divisional games for everybody. The last two weeks, I think, for the NFC North are pure divisional for everybody. I think that's true for most of the teams across the league, which means, depending on how our NFC North rivals and opponents, including yourself, finish the season, you guys could tie one of those last games into a true tie. We could all finish up 10-6-1.
Packers at Vikings. Christmas Day, 3:30 on Netflix. Get your subscription now.
Three-way tie coming.
Hope you have a good Tuesday, Gray.
It would make sense. You too, Joel.
All right. Pat Kreitlow coming in next year on The Buzz of the North at 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Sean Conley of the Berkey Foundation. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so to some people, they're thinking, we're talking about Berkey already. It's like barely, there's no snow on the ground when we're talking about this right now. There could be in a couple weeks, but when we're hoping by the end of the month. But let's talk about a recap maybe of the past summer events and some of the fall events and what's been happening.
Yeah, because traditionally, I mean, everybody thinks of the Berkey. They think of the amazing race that brings thousands of people every February. But yep, the Berkey is a year-round thing now. We're doing trail races and running. We're doing biking races and enduro. Like at the end of September, we had our Berkey Trail Run. Josiah, just shy of 1,000 runners coming out here doing marathon, wow, half marathon, running through the beautiful fall colors.
Yeah.
So that was really great at the end of September. Then on October 11th, we had our Mount Telemark Enduro. It's a downhill biking race, which if you've never been to one, look at the calendar for next year, next October. Come on out and check it out. It's so cool to see people like shredding these trails, riding these gravity trails. So the Enduro was super fun. But yeah, now we're officially in kind of our transition season where we're now starting to look at beautiful fall is coming to an end, yeah, with all the trees, really all the leaves coming off the trees. And now we're looking for that snow to start to fly. So
right,
looking at our coming up, our Turkey Burkey is coming up at the end of November, right around Thanksgiving.
Sure.
So it's a few day ski festival. You can come out and get your trail pass. We'll be turning on the snow machines. As soon as we have that cold, we'll turn on that snow machines. Yeah. We actually got a chance to test our snow machines the first week of October. And if we, that first frost we had,
right,
we actually, we got up early, we turned them on, we're like, well, let's just make sure everything's in good working order.
Right.
So we put our system through a little bit of a training, and they worked perfectly. So it was, we already had the snow machines on once, and once we start getting more consistent frosts and freezes, then we'll turn them on every night, and we'll really start making that base of snow. So by the time Turkey Burkey gets here, whatever Mother Nature gives us, we'll be able to work with.
Right.
So as long as we got some cold, we'll have some for Turkey Burkey.
Do you have more blowers? Did you add to your inventory of blowers?
Or so we have, so it's a combination of the blowers that we have out there. And we also have these taller stick ones now, which are really cool because they go out onto the trail and really push it down some more narrow corridors. So we're able to get some more in there. So yeah, so it's the whole snowmaking infrastructure is constantly evolving. But yeah, we're ready, and we'll be turning them all on and getting hopefully at least 2K ready by Thanksgiving. But again, we'll see what Mother Nature can provide us with the cold. But sure. Turkey Burkey weekend in general is going to be great, and we're actually more than just the skiing and getting out on early snow and buying your trail pass. It's also a great weekend for, you're going to have a presentation and a book signing with Jerome Pauling, Jerry Pauling. Yep.
Okay.
He's the author of American Birkebeiner, the nation's greatest ski marathon. There's been a lot written about Telemark and Tony Wise, but this is the first like 50-year all-encompassing history. And Jerry worked on this book for, gosh, almost 4 years. And now copies are available for purchase in the Burkey store, and he'll be doing a book signing and presentation at Turkey Burkey this year. So that Saturday, come on out for some early skiing. Get yourself something to eat over there at Backroads. Check things out at the Hub. And then listen to Jerry talk about his new book for a while. It's going to be a really great early kickoff to the season.
Right, yeah. Anything happening to the trail system? Any improvements to the buildings? Any additional buildings that you've been doing?
Yeah. Well, if you haven't been out to Mount Telemark Village lately, highly suggest getting on out there. Even while there's still a few leaves on the tree, I suggest getting out there if you can. But what they do have is a brand new bridge. So when you go into that and you head towards the Hub building, you're going to go under a bridge that you're like, I do not remember this being here last year or even 3 months ago it wasn't there. But it's done now. It's a beautiful bridge. And what it's made for is for bikers, walkers. You don't have to cross a road anymore. You get to ski or roller ski or hike or bike over this bridge that goes over the parking lot area, the entrance to the parking lot, I should say. So you can check that out. It's a really great facility there. And then we actually just poured some concrete recently, and we're hoping it'll be done by spring for some new bathrooms up by Dirks and Great Hall. So Dirks and Great Hall, where all of our events take place, where the Burkey start is, there's a, everyone may remember, there aren't exactly bathrooms there. Lots of porta potties.
Lots of porta potties.
But with this new bathroom infrastructure, we're actually now going to be able to not have as many porta potties and actually concrete nice spaces for our for using the commode. So it's going to be a nice spot for that. So it sounds like maybe not as glamorous, but you know, when it's a when it's an event weekend, it's important to have some bathrooms.
When
so
you have a few thousand people visiting, yes, everybody has to do something at some point. So.
Yeah. And then you'll also see if you start skiing the Burkey Trail and you kind of head at the start line and start heading towards Cable, within a few hundred yards, you're going to run into our brand new biathlon range, biathlon venue, and it's not completed yet.
Okay.
It won't be completed till the spring. They're going to pour some concrete, but you'll see a big, they've leveled all the ground, and they pretty much have everything set now for it to kind of settle over the winter, let the ground settle a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's all cut out, and you're going to be like, wow, this is a big swath of space. It's kind of over by the range that's right over there in Cable 2, kind of off of McNaught Road.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful space, a beautiful venue. We're really excited for next winter to be able to host some biathlon events there too. So lots of great infrastructure at Mount Telemark Village, always improving and always something new to come check out.
Right. Do you still have a need for volunteers at the Berkey?
I'm so glad you asked, Mark. Yes, we do. So berkey.com/volunteer, or if you just go to berkey.com, again, that's B-I-R-K-I-E.com, yep. You'll see a link right on the homepage for volunteers. Always in need of volunteers. We need a small army of volunteers for Berkey Week to make this, to pull this thing off. And that's what's so great about the community is it brings everyone together. And we host the world here, and it's all thanks to the help of you and our volunteers. So thanks to the whole community for being so welcoming.
It's been great. Yeah. Well, thank you, Sean, for coming in. We'll probably talk to you again come December and talk about what was December's event coming up?
Oh, we've Get Your Gammy Games.
Get
that's coming
your
up.
Gammy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a youth ski competition December 20th and 21st. And yeah, that's going to be a really great weekend as well. So we're looking forward to a great season. Hopefully next time we're talking, we'll be a few feet of snow on the ground.
I don't know about a few feet, but yes, I'm sure.
Here's hoping.
Yes. John, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
For more information on the Turkey Berkey, you can go to berkey.com. And right there on the front of their page on the left-hand side, you'll see a countdown for Turkey Berkey. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.